In the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and Luke tells us in his gospel that he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and that was his way of doing things. And while he was there, he actually stood up to read. And he was handed the book from the prophet Isaiah, and so he would have been handed this scroll, and he opened it up, and this is what he began to read there at the beginning of his ministry. He read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." From this prophecy in the book of Isaiah, we can see that Jesus fully understood what he was sent to do. He was sent to accomplish all of these things and to fulfill all of the Old Testament prophecies. And throughout his earthly ministry, you can read all four Gospels and find out that he did these very things, including healing blind people. There are many stories throughout the Gospel where we find a blind person or even several blind people, and Jesus comes along and heals them and gives them the recovery of their sight. Well, at the same time, there were many religious leaders. Many religious leaders there in Israel who, while they had the faculty of physical sight, Jesus referred to them as blind guides. And he would take these people who were blind and he would give them sight, but then he would turn to these religious leaders and he would say, "You're blind. Well, you can physically see, but you can't spiritually see." Jesus even referred to these leaders as blind guides, and he even asked concerning these religious leaders, he said, "Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a ditch?" From this, I would like to take a moment just to consider the difference between physical and spiritual vision. And if you would, just open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. As you're turning to Acts chapter 2, I want to point out that a person can have the faculty of physical sight and still suffer from spiritual blindness. When it comes to the position of spiritual leadership, spiritual vision is definitely more important than the sense of sight. A pastor can preach the word without physical sight, but he can't preach the word. And he can't lead a congregation unless he has spiritual vision. Well, thankfully, after the ascension of Jesus, the Lord has sent his Holy Spirit so that the leaders of the church can be empowered to lead their congregation with spiritual vision. And with that, I'd like to begin here at Acts chapter 2. I want to begin at verse 1, where Luke tells us that when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born, Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs? We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others, mocking, said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass, in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams." Well, here in these verses, we find Luke's report about the day of Pentecost. And this was the day when the Holy Spirit was sent to spiritually empower those who had trusted in Jesus Christ. And in his explanation of these events, Peter actually points to a prophecy that had been given through the prophet Joel. This prophecy was about the period of time that we live in. The period of time when the Holy Spirit of the Lord would be poured out upon all flesh, resulting in prophecy, visions, and dreams. This evening, I'd like to talk to you about the spiritual vision that the Lord has given me for this church. You might be thinking, well, it says that the young men will have visions and the old men will dream dreams. And so maybe it's a dream, maybe it's a vision. I'll let you decide on how old you think I am. I think that I've been given a vision, and so therefore I must be a young man. But I'd like to let you know here that the word vision that Peter's using there in Acts chapter 2, it actually comes from a Greek word which not only speaks of seeing with the eyes, the physical faculty of sight, but it's also speaking of a perception of the mind. You can see something within your mind. This word vision speaks of that mental perception. It speaks of the ability to receive information which has been divinely granted. And there's certainly information that God has about the future that He can help us to see. I'm sure we all recognize that God is all-knowing. There's no surprise about tomorrow for God. God won't arrive at tomorrow and think, what happened to the weather down there in Austin? How in the world did it get to be 18 degrees? It's not going to be a surprise to God. God will know. God knows what the temperature is going to be like here in Austin, Texas, every day until Jesus returns. He knows it. And He knows the plan that He has for this church. And the vision that He's given me is His revelation of what He plans to do here at Calvary South Austin. I think that the Lord defined this sort of vision best in Jeremiah 33 when He declared, "Call to Me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." God knows things that we don't know. And He can give us that information if He chooses to. And when He gives the pastor of a church information about the future of that church, He's giving them vision for that church. Well, from this I can tell you with all certainty that the Lord has given me vision for this church. It was 10 years ago when I heard God's call to pastor a church, a Calvary Chapel, here in South Austin. I was pretty sure that this church plant was God's will, but at the same time, it's kind of like we can think that we hear God telling us something, but then what's the evidence? We can believe that God told us something and move forward and find ourselves making big mistakes because there really was no confirmation. And so being someone who attempts to be somewhat intelligent in the way I make decisions, I thought, I need some confirmation. The whole concept of going out and starting a church and being responsible for the souls of people, that wasn't something that I was ready to just sign up for right away. Take that very seriously. And so I'm thinking, okay, I think that God's calling me to South Austin, but I want confirmation. Number one, I want confirmation from my wife. Number two, I want confirmation from my pastor. I want to know that my wife's going to stand with me. I want to know that my pastor is sending me. And so I talked to Brenda, and you know, Brenda was all for it, but couldn't really say that, yeah, I really feel like God's telling us this. And so she was ready to support me in the endeavor, but couldn't really say, yeah, God's telling me that this is the plan for us. And so that was one caution, a yellow flag, if you will. I went to my pastor, and I asked him, I think that God might be calling me to go to South Austin to start a Calvary Chapel there. What do you think? And he said, I don't see that. I don't think that that's God's calling for you right now. And that was hard to hear. But I just continued to pray. And I said, okay, well, I'll just stay here and work here until God confirms it through my pastor. And I continued to pray and continued to pray, God, confirm this through my pastor. Send me out with a blessing from my church. Well, 2 years went by and two visitors showed up from Prescott, Arizona. Damien and his wife Erica Clark had come to Austin because God had put South Austin on their heart too. And they arranged a meeting with Alan, and Alan told them to go talk to me, and so I went to lunch with these two, and they talked all about South Austin and having family in South Austin and desire to pastor a church in South Austin, and it was hard to hear. I had a desire to be in South Austin. I felt like God had called me to South Austin, and here was this other couple wanting to start a church here. Well, they said their thank yous and goodbyes and went back to Prescott and said that they were going to pray about it. And I remember one day my pastor coming into my office and saying, you know, Bungie, Damien called and said that they really felt the confirmation that they were supposed to come, and they're going to come unless you go out and plant. And they said that if I went and planted the church in South Austin, they wouldn't come. They would respect that I'm going to do this work. And he said, so are you going to go? And I said, are you sending me? And he said, no. Well, I guess I'm not going then. If my pastor's not going to send me, then how can I go with that confirmation that I know that not only did God tell me to go to Calvary South Austin, but he told my pastor that I need to go plant Calvary South Austin. And so I said, I'm not going. I can't go unless my pastor sends me and my wife is seeing the same vision that I have. Well, needless to say, Damien and Erica came and they started Calvary South Austin. And it was June 2002 that they started that Bible study in their house. And the whole time I was struggling to make sense of this. God, how is it that you made it so clear to me that I'm supposed to do this, but yet you're bringing these people in to do this? And what does this all mean? And I'm just trying to make sense of it, you know. So I just continued to pray. I continued to serve the Lord there at Calvary South Austin. I continued to believe that if God wants to send me, He can confirm it through my pastor. He can speak to my pastor in the same way that He spoke to me. And so I just sat and waited. And I would hear wind about the church in South Austin, you know, growing. And they finally began a building project here in this very building. Damien continued to pastor the church here, and it grew. And then one day, he was there in the office at Calvary Austin. I remember coming out of my office and seeing him there in the lobby of our office. And I was like, hey, well, you know, hadn't seen him in a while. And hey, how you doing? You know, he said, I'm doing good. And I was on my way out the door and I took off. And while I was out, about an hour later, Alan called me and he said, when you get back, come straight to my office. And I thought, oh no, I'm in trouble again. So I come back to the office and go straight to Alan's office, and he tells me that Damien was heading back to Prescott. And he had come to ask if Alan would send me to take over the church. Well, at that I asked Alan, is that the confirmation you've been waiting for? He said, yes. You see, that was God's way of helping my pastor to understand that I was supposed to go. And we met with Damien at Chili's right over here at Stasny and I-35 and had lunch together. And Damien's exact words were this: God took the vision of the church away from me. I was like, wow. I always thought about God giving vision, but God taking vision away. I just thought that was rather interesting, and it just got filed away in the back of my mind. God had given this couple a vision for coming and planting this church. And just a few years into the church plant, right after they had signed a lease on this building, God removed the vision from Damien, used that as confirmation for my pastor so that he might send me to South Austin to continue this work. So it was Wednesday, February 2nd, 2005, when I took over as senior pastor of Calvary South Austin. And I should add to that right prior to taking over, I went and asked Brenda and I said, you think this is confirmation? And she said, oh yeah, this is without a doubt God's confirmation. But now as I consider the 5 years that passed between 2000, when I felt like the Lord had clearly spoken to me about starting at Calvary South Austin, the 5 years that passed until I was finally here teaching on that first Wednesday night, God was doing something in my heart. From the day that the Lord gave me that vision for South Austin to the day when I stepped into that role of senior pastor, the Lord was teaching me, number one, that He is sovereign, that He is on the throne, and that He arranges people and works His vision in a way that I could never imagine. And number two, He taught me how to be patient and wait for Him to fulfill His vision. Because isn't that what it's about? God has a vision for this church. And throughout time, He shows me glimpses of it. God has a plan for this congregation. And He clues me in every once in a while into what He's doing. Isn't that nice? And I learned that just because He reveals something at one point in time doesn't mean He's going to make it happen. Because 5 years went by from the time that He told me I was going to pastor this church to the day that I actually pastored it. 5 years went by. And He taught me how to be patient and to wait for Him to bring to pass His vision. And that's important because the Lord has given me a pretty big vision for this church. For example, you know, when it comes to the kids of our church, I have a heart for the children here at our church, your kids. And there's coming a day when this church will have a Christian daycare center so that moms can drop their kids off in a safe place where they know they're going to be left with Christian caregivers who are going to continue to instill biblical truths into our young kids. Affordable daycare that isn't going to just drain you of every penny so that you can make a living and still, you know, have childcare. But also an outreach to our community. An outreach that says we're going to find, you know, the poorest of the poor people who can't afford daycare. And we're going to give them opportunities to have daycare so that they can go get a job and get out of the welfare system and actually get up on their feet. And so a Christian daycare center that is not only, you know, meeting the needs of our own church, but also, you know, outreach-oriented. I also have a heart for classes for homeschool students, because while a homeschool parent might have many different abilities in teaching their own children, there might be many classes that a homeschooled child might miss out on. And so the plan is to eventually have supplemental courses for homeschooled kids so that a homeschooled child can have a lesson in theology a couple of times a week or come up to learn about nonlinear media editing, both in audio and visual, or music lessons taught by some of the musicians on our worship team. Different things that could supplement a child's homeschool program. But also from there, eventually, to have an affordable Christian school, you know, preschool all the way through high school, so that a child can grow up with Christian teachers who are teaching them, you know, the reading, writing, and arithmetic, if that makes any sense. Public school, just reading, writing, and arithmetic. That's what they told me when I was a kid. Reading, writing, and arithmetic, you know, we could, you know, teach them that, but also having, you know, theology courses, teaching them creation science rather than teaching them that there's some big cosmic accident that just by chance happened throughout the course of history and that kind of, no, we're going to teach them that God created them and created them specially and specifically to you know, fulfill His will. So those are all things that are on my heart to see happen here at this church. We also would like to see a Central Texas Bible College happening. And we'd like to see a property on the lake, you know, where we can do our Bible college, but also double as a retreat center during the summer so that our men's ministry and our women's ministry, even our youth camp, has a retreat center so that we can go do our own retreats out there. More immediately, our desire is to have high school Sunday school. Right now, we offer Sunday school for junior high, and we need an additional room, you know, to offer the high school, because those are two different age groups that need to be taught on two different levels. And so eventually we're going to have a new building. Eventually we're going to have the extra space, the rooms that we need, and at that point in time we'll be offering a high school Sunday school class so that high school kids can come to church and, you know, receive a Bible study that's right there on their level. You know, whenever God puts us in a new building, and I mean that in the sense that God has a plan. Just as God put us in this building, He's going to put us in another building. And as this church grows, God's going to open the door for us to go into a new building. And when that new building is available to us, we're going to be able to offer a lot of these things. The daycare center will be more doable in a new building. The high school classes will be doable in a new building. The homeschooled supplemental courses, that's something that we can roll out immediately. You know, those are things that will come along with the growth and with the new building that happens here at this church. And so I look forward to that. Look forward to that day when God opens those doors. But then going back to that five-year concept there, that God told me this on this day in 2000 and fulfilled it 5 years later, I recognize that while all these things look great and I'd like it to happen like that, who knows? It might be 20 years down the road. It might be tomorrow. I don't know. God knows. And God knows how He's going to do it. And that's what we have to wait on. But beyond, you know, ministry to the kids, there's also things that we want to do in media. We certainly have a heart for film outreach. As a matter of fact, many of you have seen, you saw the first cut of the Forever Family film that we followed and documented the story of Hannah and Larry Overton. And you know, she's sitting in prison right now and doing all these Bible studies after being falsely accused of you know, just a tragic event. But you know, we did a documentary on that. We did our first edit, and we just finished up with our last edit. Right now, the audio is being mastered professionally, and we will be rolling out this video at the Happily Ever After Marriage Conference. And it's a great video, and we're going to be entering it into film competitions, and we're going to be watching the Lord use that. We're going to do a remastering of an abortion video that we put together a few years ago. But then also we're going to be entering into different film competitions, short film competitions, feature-length competitions. And the more our media ministry grows and the more resources that we have for better equipment and time to actually get on a set and do some professional stuff, we'd like to see this church putting out some very cutting-edge media, both by way of film, not to mention by way of music. We would like to see this church producing some of the hottest Christian artists, you know, that this world's ever seen. Not just regurgitating the same old sound that every, you know, worship leader puts out there, but real cutting-edge music that is going to get into the minds of our students on the campuses here in this world. Music that kids are interested in, but yet we're going to be putting the gospel message in this music. We'd like to produce some of that music here. Currently, we have a radio spot. We have a radio show every Saturday, but we're going to increase that to a weekly radio show so that, you know, once a week or once a day throughout the business week, you know, our messages are going out to a radio audience. And we actually have a television show on the Access Channel right now. But man, wouldn't it be awesome to eventually have the Bible studies here on a network station so that people are actually tuning in on network station. We have a vision for missions. The Lord has given me a heart to take our missionary money at this point and support the Overtons. Hannah Overton, just to give you a little more insight into that, if there ever was a missionary in this world, it's Hannah Overton. She was forced into a prison situation, and she's not sitting in there grumbling. She's not sitting in there shaking her fist at the system who wrongly accused her or put her there. No, no. She is teaching Bible studies. And she, you know, the story would just take too long to get into right now. But this girl ministers to more people than I can even imagine. And there are ladies in prison that are getting saved because of her. Ladies who are, you know, walking with the Lord. And not only that, but the ripple effect that is leaving the prison. These ladies, their lives are changing. And in their communication with people outside, their loved ones are now getting saved. And it's just mind-blowing to see what God is doing through Larry and Hannah. You know, Larry is teaching Children's Church there in Corpus Christi and continuing to raise their five children. So he was instantly forced into a single dad situation, and not only that, but through all the bad press and all the media, the business that he owns completely tanked, and so now he's scrambling for work. And so I'm thinking, man, if there ever was a missionary put into a persecution situation like Paul, you know, it's this family. And so my heart throughout this past year has been to take our missionary money and direct it towards this family and support them as they attempt to scrape by and take care of their kids while she's in prison doing all this ministry. I think that's incredible. I'm also talking to the Parkers in Morocco about the possibility of them moving to Spain. And we've had a desire to do something in Spain, and hopefully as the economy gets better here in town, we'll be able to do a mission trip over to Spain and just kind of scout it out and see what's going on over there. And I'll let you know more about that as that comes up. But my heart really is for Austin, Texas. And so many times, you know, it's so easy to think about some place on the other side of the world and how we might be able to send someone over somewhere else to do something somewhere. But I've got unbelieving neighbors that live right next door to me. What about them? You've got unbelieving neighbors living right next door to you. What about them? My heart for this church is to be an evangelistic presence here in Austin, Texas. If there ever was an unsaved city, it is Austin, Texas. I mean, just you have to get out and mingle in this community to find out that this place, man, I meet people all the time who have never heard the gospel message. I've met so many people here in Austin, Texas, who have never heard a correct explanation of the good news of Jesus Christ. And so my desire, my heart, is to continue to provide opportunities to see this church equipped with the apologetics and with an understanding of the gospel message so that we can go out and spread the good news that Jesus Christ has paid for our sins. And so we're going to be seeing those opportunities for more local evangelism here at this church. We want to reach this community. That's our mission. This is our mission field. And that's the one thing that I'm hoping that you'll understand. I'm hoping that you'll understand that Austin, Texas is our mission field. And while it's fine to go over to Spain, and while it's fine to drive down to Mexico, and while it's fine to do outreach elsewhere, are we reaching our city? Are we reaching our community? Are we reaching our neighbor? Well, that's my desire, and that's one of the things that I can't wait to continue to give you opportunities to plug into various evangelistic endeavors. Well, another thing that I'd like to talk about just real quickly, and I really want to get to a Q&A time here, so I don't want to just, you know, continue on and on with all the things that God has put on my heart. But one of the things that we're working on, which we'll be rolling out hopefully very quickly, is something that we're probably going to call boot camp. And the concept of boot camp is just a way of helping people to plug in here at Calvary South Austin. Now, there's people that are plugged in and you know, might even feel like they're doing too much. And so this certainly has nothing to do with taking someone who's already plugged in and trying to get them to do more. You know, that's not the point. The point would be to take those who aren't doing anything and don't know how to plug in, don't know how to sign up and serve. You know, I want to help these people to go through a basic training, a boot camp course, so that you can understand where we're coming from, what ministry is about, the importance of serving, and just basically what's expected of those who are serving at this church. And so this whole training idea would be an opportunity to just give you basic understanding of what serving here at this church means, and then an opportunity to meet the leaders of the various ministries so that you can explore the options of where you might serve here at Calvary South Austin. And so look for that in the more immediate future. Well, this is a scratch of the surface of all the things that I could just fill this hour with talking about, the things that God has put on my heart. But this is part of the vision that God has given me for this church. And as I think back to that 5 years where I waited on the Lord just to be sent to South Austin, I've been here for 5 years now. I think this is the sixth anniversary, going into the sixth year and whatnot. So, you know, I waited as long as I've been pastor of this church. And God taught me how to be patient and to allow Him to put things into place so that He can bring things to pass. And so there's God's vision, there's God's calling, and there's God's timing. Two different things. So when will all these things come to pass? I don't know. I have no clue. I know this, though, that the vision that God has given me will come to pass in His timing and according to His plan. And so all I'm doing right now is patiently waiting. I'm doing what God is calling me to do. I'm preparing my Bible studies. I'm preparing my heart. I'm patiently waiting on His timing, and I'm encouraging you to do the same. I'm simply encouraging you to continue to grow in the grace of God. Continue to spend time in studying the truth of His Word. Continue to commit yourself entirely into His service. And therefore, if God is calling you to serve Him, serve Him. If God is calling you to give and support this vision with financial gifts, then give what God's calling you to give. Whatever God is calling you to do in support of this vision, go for it. I'm encouraging you just to go with reckless abandon and do what God is calling you to do. Don't do what people, don't go out there and do what people are pressuring you to do, and don't feel like you're, guilty if you don't, or none of that. Just do what God is telling you to do, and do it in the timing that He's telling you to do it in. And the reason why I say that is this: as we move forward into the future of this church, I don't want to strive in vain, and I don't want you to strive in vain. I don't want you to feel like, well, if I don't do this, this vision will never come to pass. And you're not that important. Neither am I. None of us here are going to make or break this vision. The first thing that the Lord showed me before I became the pastor of this church is, I don't need you to start this church. Oh, is that what you're telling me here? That's right. God doesn't need me to start this church, and He certainly doesn't need me to pastor it. He can raise up anybody to pastor this church. He can give anyone vision for this church. And so with that, I humbly just say, I'm not needed here. I'm not that important. If God wants to do something through Calvary South Austin, God's going to do it. And He's going to find those who He's going to do it through. And so all we have to do is just be patient, listen for His calling, receive His direction, and simply walk in obedience to that. But we don't need to strive in our flesh. This is what Solomon said in Psalm 127. He said, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. If the Lord's not going to do this, let's pack it up. If the Lord's not going to build this church, if the Lord's not going to do this work, then we're just striving in vain. That's all that is. And so, considering that 5 years that I waited and watched God start this church, again, I just say, wait on the Lord. And let's watch what He does here. And when He stirs our hearts to serve, let's serve. And when He stirs our hearts to give, let's give. And when He stirs our heart to move forward, let's move forward. Not striving, not in the flesh, but according to what God is doing here. Therefore, there's no pressure here. All pressure is gone. There's only an encouragement to walk in the will of God as He reveals it to you. That's the vision that I have for this church. The vision I have is a church filled with Christians who are walking with the Lord, falling more in love with Him every day, and responding to that love in the way that we worship, in the way that we love one another, and in the way that we obey His calling. That's my vision for you guys.